Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Well, what a great time of the year. Can you say amen to that? It is a wonderful time to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. A great time of giving, and we celebrate this time of year. We're calling it a season of giving because we are celebrating the fact that God gave His Son. In fact, our verse for this month is John chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's say that together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son. God, the ruler of the universe, wanted us to be able to get to heaven. We're sinners. We deserve to go to hell. But God loves us in spite of the fact that we're sinners. He loves us and wants us to get to heaven. So God's solution is that God would become a man in the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a man. God loved the world and He gave His Son. Came to this earth to suffer and die an agonizing death to pay for your sin and my sin. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses, and then He went back to heaven. Now He says the way I get to heaven is coming to Him and asking Him to be my Lord and Savior and God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I can know I'm going to heaven right now today by just saying, Jesus, I know I deserve to go to hell. I know that You died for me. I know that You were buried and rose from the dead for me. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. Whosoever, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to give you eternal life, you can do that today and you can leave here knowing you're going to heaven. Now, the reason you're able to do that is because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us. So this is a season of giving. And we've been looking in the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We start off last week in Luke chapter 1. I'd like you to turn there, if you haven't already, to Luke chapter 1. We saw the story last week of Zacharias and Elizabeth. This was an older couple, the uncle and aunt of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us an angel, Gabriel, comes to Zechariah while he's doing his job in the temple. And Zacharias had given his life to the Lord. He gave to his life to the Lord. And in giving his life to the Lord Jesus, to God, He gave Him His love, He gave Him His time, He gave Him His attention, He gave Him His surrender, He gave Him His confidence. He gave his life totally and completely to God. In return, God blessed him tremendously. God said, I'm going to give you a son. You and Elizabeth are going to receive a son, and you're going to call his name John. Today, we're going to talk about John the Baptist, another person who gave his life totally and completely to God. Oftentimes, when we talk about giving ourselves totally to God, people think, well, I'll lose everything. People have the wrong concept. If I give myself to God, I'm going to lose it all. I won't have anything. But God's word says something totally contrary to that. God's word says in Matthew 6:33, He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. God says the things that you need, the things that you want, the things that you desire will be given to you if you give yourself to God. The devil tells us and the world tells us we've got to hold everything back. Get all you can all you get, and by all means, sit on the can. Just keep it all and hide it all and hoard it all, and because nobody's going to take care of number one but you. You better take care of number one. Yet God says, no, listen, what I want you to do is give me your life. Zacharias And Elizabeth did that, and God blessed their life with this son, John the Baptist. John the Baptist gave his life totally and completely to God. He was called of God. He was chosen of God before his birth. And the Bible tells us several things about him, several things that God accomplished through his life because he gave his life to him. In Luke chapter 1, and verse 13, let's read this. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and shall rejoice at his," "and many shall rejoice at his birth." I want you to see that. "Because you're surrendered, and because he will be surrendered to me, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." So he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us in order to be great in the sight of the Lord, you have to be a servant. So he's going to be a servant. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God." People are going to get saved because of him. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Father, I pray as we examine your servant, John the Baptist, that you'll help us to see what you produced in his life and the benefit that his life was for others. And I pray, Father, that we will live accordingly. And I ask this in your name, Father. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you right now just say, "God, teach me what will happen if I give myself to you." We're talking about giving ourselves to the Lord. Ask the Lord, "Lord, teach me this morning some things about my life if I give myself totally to you." Now, Father, I would ask that you'd help me to communicate this truth. Keep Satan from hindering us. Holy Spirit, come into our midst and teach us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible tells us, and we were at that point in Romans chapter 12, where the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God." Kenny, God is saying, "I want you to give yourself totally and completely to me." John the Baptist did that. In fact, God tells us in this prophecy to his father, he is going to. And he says several things are going to happen because he does that. Number one, he says this, he's going to give joy to others. He's going to give joy to others. The Bible says this, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." He brought joy to his mother and father. Why? Just because he was born? Well, yes, when a baby is born, it brings joy. But I want you to understand this. This was a child who grew up surrendered to God. And because of that, he had a heart of submission towards his mother and father. And when a child is obedient, it just brings joy to your life. When they are from time to time. When you say to your child, "I want you to go do this, and I want you to go do that," and boom, they do it. And it's an instant obedience. You think, "What happened? Did we have revival?" And it just brings joy to your heart. John would have been a submissive child because he was surrendered to God from his mother's womb. So we bring joy to others. We bring joy to others when we are surrendered to God. You know that God wants us to be people that live in his joy. God wants us to enjoy the world that we live in. God wants us to enjoy the opportunity. You're children of God. Say that with me. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. We are children of God. God wants us to enjoy the life that he's given to us. We have the privilege of knowing we're going to heaven. We have the privilege of being called children of God. We have the privilege of absolute assurance that if something were to happen to us, we're going to go to heaven. We had a funeral here yesterday. In fact, we did two funerals this week, people who attend this church. And yesterday, we had Brian Sullivan's funeral here. I was told by Pastor Matt that earlier this week, when Brian found out that he was going to go to heaven, that when he found out that he was just going to be here on this planet for a few more hours, he said this to my son, to Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt explained to him what was going to take place, and he said, you're only going to have a few hours. Brian had every one of his family members come by, and he talked to them, and he was an encouragement to them, and he told them how he loved them, and he said it's going to be all right. He encouraged them on his deathbed. He said this to Pastor Matt earlier. He said, Pastor Matt, he said, now listen to what he said. He's about to die. He said, Pastor Matt, I have the easy part. I have the easy part. Why? Because he had absolute assurance that when he closed his eyes, he was going to see Jesus face to face. It's wonderful. Listen, and so even as he was going to heaven, he was bringing joy to others. Listen, when we give ourselves totally and completely to God, God will use us to bring joy to other people's lives. God wants other people to know his joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When I give myself totally and completely to him, when I say, Lord, I am yours, then God is able to show his love and his joy to other people. God wants you to surrender, not because of what you're going to lose out on, but because he can use your life to bring joy to others. Secondly, I want you to see this. The Bible tells us this in verse 15. It says, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, listen, our planet has it all backwards. We need to always remember we live on a rebellious planet. We live on a planet that doesn't think right. A planet that thinks wrong is right and right is wrong. And we have everything backwards. So that we think that joy comes into our life by being served. We think that joy comes into our life by getting things, by having people take care of us. We think joy comes from obtaining things so that you have bumper stickers that say, he that dies with the most toys wins. How sad that is, because that's not reality at all. The Bible tells us this, that when we are serving God, when we get our eyes focused on him and do what he wants us to do, that we will have a heart of service. The Bible says this, that he is going to be great in the eyes of the Lord. And by the way, he was very clear. He was very clear. The point is that we will not only give joy, but we will give service to others. Here's what the Bible says that John said about himself. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, there were followers of John that came and said, John, you need to understand this Jesus he's baptizing more people than you, and more people are following him, and the people that used to follow us are now following him. And here was his response. He must increase, but I must decrease. John had a heart of service. He had a heart of service. The Bible tells us this in Luke chapter 28. they came to Jesus because John was questioning whether or not Jesus was really the Messiah. He had been in prison. He didn't know whether Jesus was the one. So he sends someone to see Jesus. And the Bible says this, and in Jesus' conversation, he said this about John the Baptist. He said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." That's an amazing statement. Jesus said here, the angel said, he's going to be great. And here Jesus says, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because he had a heart of service. When I give my life totally and completely to God, not only will I bring joy to others, but I will bring service to others. The Bible says in Mark, Jesus again speaking, said, "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." God wants us to have a heart of service, where I'm thinking about what I can do for others. In fact, God tells us that joy comes into our lives when we learn to serve others and put others above ourselves. The husband that is the happiest husband is the one that learns to serve his wife. The wife who is the happiest wife is the one who understands that she's here to serve her husband. Parents that learn contentment in their life, though they discipline their children, though they teach their children to serve, are parents that serve. The happiest parents are the parents who serve their children and understand that my life is wrapped up in making my children become a success. When I give my life totally and completely to God, and that's what he wants. See, God doesn't want me to just give 10%. People will ask me, "Hey, do you believe in tithing?" I believe in 100%ing. I believe that everything we own belongs to God, and everything we own should be given of our own free will to God. We give ourselves, we place ourselves on the altar, and we say, "God, I'm yours." And by the way, in Romans, when the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice," you need to understand, if you were a dead sacrifice, you'd only have to do that one time. You would lay that sacrifice down, and it's dead. It's burned up. It's over. But that's not the way it is with you and me. You and I are a living sacrifice. We give ourselves to God, and then we're still alive, which means that every day we have to give ourselves to God. It's something we have to do every day, over and over. "God, I give myself again to you this day. You use my hands. You use my feet. You use my legs. You use my eyes. You use my ears. You use my mouth. You let me go where you want me to go." God says, "I want all of you, every bit of you. I give myself totally to him." And when I do, again, God uses me to bring joy to others. God uses me to bring service to others so that I'm being used by him to touch other people's lives. Number three, you'll give others a break. See, what is that all about? Look at verse 15. The Bible says, "And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Now, there's a lot of weird teaching about being filled with the Holy Ghost out there. People talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, and they talk about speaking in tongues or doing flip-flops in the aisle or laughing or some wonderful chill bump experience that you're going to have. That's not what the Bible talks about when God talks about being filled with the Spirit. What is the evidence that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us that the evidence is the fruit of the Spirit. You see, I can tell a peach tree is a peach tree if I go to a tree and I pick off peaches. I don't have to be an atomic scientist to figure that out. If I go to a tree and it has peaches on it and somebody says that's an orange tree, they're wrong. I can just take a bite of the fruit and I can know that it is a peach tree because it has peaches on it. I go to an apricot tree, I know it's an apricot tree because it's got apricots on it. I go to an orange tree, I pick oranges off there, I say that is an orange tree. I can tell by their fruit. The evidence that an orange tree is an orange tree is the fruit. The evidence that a person is filled with the Spirit is that they produce the fruit of the Spirit. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. The Bible tells me this, if I give myself to others, I said, I'll give them a break. Why? Because I will be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, when I give myself to Him, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of me. And when the Spirit of God comes to live inside of me, He's going to produce certain things. Number one, He's going to produce love in my life. Love. And that's unconditional love. It's not a love that says, I'll treat you well if you treat me well. It's the love that Jesus spoke about when He said, bless those that curse you. That is, if somebody says something negative about you, you're going to say something positive about them. The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. See, unconditional love says it doesn't matter how you treat me, I'm going to treat you right. It doesn't matter how you act towards me, I'm going to act right towards you. So if you treat me bad, I'm going to pray for you. If you take from me, I'm going to give to you. I'm not going to return evil for evil. I'm going to return good for evil. That's unconditional love. And I want you to understand, you don't have that ability in and of yourself. I don't have that ability in myself. We naturally, when somebody treats us bad, we want to treat them bad back. If somebody is unkind, if my wife is unkind to me, then I want to be unkind to her. If your husband's unkind to you, you want to be unkind to him. And that's why we have conflicts and that's why we have problems, because we're selfish and self-centered. And so we don't naturally love unconditionally. But the Bible says when I present my body to him, I give my life to God. When I do that, then he produces in my life love. Unconditional love. So I'm able to treat those who treat me wrong, I'm able to treat them well. But not only that, he says he's going to produce joy. The joy that we talked about earlier. It's so sad to me that Christians don't know how to enjoy their life. And so many Christians are walking around with such a sad look on their face, or uncontent with what's going on. You don't understand what I'm going through. I don't need to understand what you're going through. God understands what you're going through. Can you say amen to that? God knows what's going on in your life. Does God care? Yes, he cares. And God wants you to have victory in the midst of whatever trial you're facing. And he can if you give him totally and completely your life. He can give you joy in the midst of trouble. The Bible says not only will he produce joy, he'll produce peace in your life. A peace that passes all understanding. He will give you peace in the midst of storms. He doesn't say you're not going to go through any storms. He doesn't say you're not going to have any problems in life. He will give you peace. We talk about Jesus Christ being born the Prince of Peace, and when the angels came, they said, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And people say, where is the peace? It's been 2,000 years, there's no peace. And the answer is this, yes, there is peace. There's peace right here. See, I can go through this world knowing this world is rebellious, knowing this world's got conflict, knowing this world's got, is all messed up. I can go through this world understanding that and yet having the peace of God, recognizing I'm here to represent him and I'm only here for a while and God's going to take care of it all in the end. Can you say amen to that? God wants us to understand there's peace. There's peace. And he says in about John the Baptist that he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, which means he's going to love unconditionally. It means he's going to bring joy. It means peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering. What does that mean? That means you suffer a long time. That means I'm willing if I surrender to him, I'm willing to put up with you no matter what you do. See, you do some weird things. You do some odd things. You do some irritating things. Does anybody know anybody that's just a little bit of an irritant to them? Can you say amen? Are you awake? Okay. Yeah, there are people that just get on your nerves. Well, long suffering means I'm able to put up with them. The person that I would naturally shoot, I will love them and I'll get along with them. Long suffering, I'm able to put up with. The idea is forbearance. I'm able to put up with that. God does that in my life. God produces that in my life. It's not me producing that. It's God, because I've surrendered to Him. Great. God does wonderful things in my life if I am willing to surrender totally and completely to Him. Gentleness. I can be gentle with people. I can treat them well. Goodness. We're not by nature good. We're by nature bad. We by nature want to do the wrong things. But the Bible tells us that He'll produce goodness in my life. He'll produce faith in my life. He'll produce meekness in my life. That is, I don't need to be recognized. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I'll do what God wants me to do, and I'll leave that to Him. And temperance. Man, self-control. He'll produce these things in our lives. And I'll be able then, because of that, to give others a break. You see, when God puts this in my life, I'm not going to walk around condemning other people. They didn't act the way I thought they should act. They didn't treat me the way I should be treated. They were unkind to me. Have you ever seen somebody in a restaurant get all over a waitress, and everybody just sitting there like biting their fingernails thinking, oh my goodness, what a jerk. And he's screaming at the waitress. Maybe it was you. Or standing in line at a grocery store and having some guy rant and rave about what he's not getting and making everybody uncomfortable. Why? Because he's not controlled. He's not self-controlled. I want you to understand what the Bible says is that if I give myself totally and completely to God, that I'm going to be merciful towards other people. I'm not going to be condemning. I'm not going to be bad-mouthing. I'm not going to be looking down my nose at other people. I'm not going to be looking at others and condemning them, because I'm going to know the mercy of God and the grace of God in my life. Because I'm filled with His Spirit. So I'll give service. I'll give other people a break. Number four, look at verse 16. It says, "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God." John the Baptist not only did all those things, he gave life. He told people about the giver of life. He told them about Jesus Christ. He told them what Christ had done for them. He gave life. He told other people how they could know for sure they were going to heaven. Yesterday during the funeral here in this auditorium, Pastor Matt gave the gospel message, and it was so clear and so good. At the end of that, he gave an invitation, and I believe it was three people raised their hand and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So that even in death, we, if we are surrendered to God, give life. Can you say amen to that? I was in the hospital this week with a young couple whose baby just stopped breathing, turned blue, and they flew them from Kingman, Arizona over to here and went in to pray with them. The doctor said there's no hope. The baby is, you need to get your family together. You need to understand there's just no hope. This baby is not going to make it. And so all the family came in to say goodbye. And then all of a sudden, there was some brain activity. And things began to change. And we went in there. She asked us to come over there and anoint him with oil and pray for him. We went in and anointed him with oil. And now the baby, who was supposed to be dead 3 days ago, is still alive. And the mom's holding the baby. And the baby's there. When we walked in there, and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know that it's in God's hands totally, as all of our lives are. Can you say amen to that? So we don't know what's going to happen. But when we walked in, I said, you know what? The world talks about death and preparing for death, but you need to understand that we as Christians focus on life. Let's focus on life. And the grandpa and the grandma and the aunts and uncles that were there and the mom and dad said, yes, yes. We need to understand that what we do as Christians when we are surrendered to the will of God, when we are totally, when we've given ourselves to Him, is we give people life. We give people hope. We give people the opportunity to see what life is really all about. I love it when somebody comes to our church and they walk in here, and after they're here for 2 or 3 weeks, they come up and say, "We didn't know." I've heard this so many times over the years. We didn't know that people lived like this. We did not know that people knew what life was all about. And it's amazing to me. What they're saying is things are totally different. Things are totally different. Why? Because when we live for the right things, when we live surrendered to Him, when we give our lives to Him, He gives His life to us. And that's what real living is all about. John the Baptist told people about Jesus Christ. He led people to Christ. And I'm telling you, that's the joy and the privilege that we have as Christians. We bring joy to people. We bring service to people. We give the mercy of God to people because His Spirit is working in us, and we're able to be merciful. We give life to people when we give our lives to Him. Then lastly, I want you to see this in verse 17. The Bible says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." Something's going to happen. When these people get saved, when their lives are changed, they're going to start caring about their children. Fathers are going to care about their children. "And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just." People that were disobedient are going to say, "Hey, we want direction. We want to know about your word." He says then, "preparing people to meet the Lord." He said, wow, he's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Listen, not only do we give life, but we give renewal. When a person gets saved, they have a whole different way of looking at life. When I give my life totally and completely to God, then He can use my life. He can use my life to help others fix their lives. I cannot tell you. I really can't. Basically, because I don't have that good of a memory. But over 38 years, how many people have come into our office whose lives were about to be shattered, and we were able to sit down with them and say, "Look, here's some principles from Scripture, and if you'll just obey these principles and you'll start doing with these principles, God will change your life. And it won't be easy, and it may take some time, but things are going to get better if you'll just start living by the principles of God's Word." And the hearts of fathers are turned towards their children. And the hearts of husbands are turned towards their wives. And the hearts of wives are turned towards their husbands. And if we just take the Word of God and we apply the Word of God, the mercy and the grace of God renews people's life. I walked into my office one morning several years ago. And in my office, I like to play the guitar. I have an acoustical guitar at home. And I just like guitars. I really do. I walked into my office, and when I got in there, in the middle of my office, there are three electrical guitar boxes, electric guitars sitting there. I opened them up, and the case, they're not just cases, they're electrical guitars. One was a Gibson, a Les Paul, a very expensive, nice guitar. Another one was a Stratocaster. It was a very, very nice, looked like the Beach Boys, orange and white. It was really cool. I mean, me holding it really looked great. And then there was another bass guitar that were given. They were in there, and I thought, what is this? I opened up a card. I opened the card up, and it said, "Dear Pastor Tice, you won't remember us." But it said several years ago, we came through Las Vegas, and we were about to, our whole life was about to be blown apart. And we didn't know what we were going to do. And you sat down and spent about an hour with us and just shared with us what we should do with our life. And he said, and the letter said, well, we took your advice. We were coming back through Las Vegas. We always wanted to do something special for you. And we had these three guitars, and we knew you liked music, so we just wanted to leave these for you. May God bless your ministry. And they left. I don't know who it was. I don't remember who I talked to. I can't remember who I talked to yesterday. I don't remember the situation. I don't remember anything, but I do know this. There's a life that was totally and completely transformed. I have people walk into this auditorium all the time that say, do you remember? And I don't. And I try to pretend I do. And then I just get that dumb look on their face and they say, oh, you don't remember. But I can remember a guy coming in here, standing right there in the middle of the auditorium one day. He said, you don't know me and you won't know my youth director, but my youth director was sent here, TDY, before he was a youth director. He said he came here, somebody invited him to church. He came in here, he sat on the back row of the church, and he said, you, on a Wednesday night, preached, and he got saved. He said he left here, he went back, finished his term in the Air Force, then he went to Bible college, studied for the ministry, he became a youth director, he led me to Christ, and I wouldn't have gotten saved if it wasn't for you. And you think, wow, I love it when God uses your life to renew somebody else's life. And that happens when you give your life to Christ. There's nothing like God using your life to touch somebody else's life, to affect somebody else's life. When somebody calls up and says, when somebody calls up and says, Pastor, my daughter is getting married, and she's marrying a good Christian man, and we wouldn't have known how to raise our children if it wasn't for you. That is amazing. That touches your heart. You say, God, thank you for allowing me to serve. How does that happen? Here's how it happens. You say to God, God, I'm yours. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, based on the fact that Jesus gave everything to you, since he gave everything to you, since God the Father sent his Son so that you could have eternal life, since he gave everything to you, I beseech you, I plead with you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give yourself totally and completely to God. Zacharias did it, and God blessed him. John the Baptist did it, and God used John the Baptist to bring joy to others, to give service to others, to give mercy, the mercy of God to others, to give life to others, and to give renewal of life to those who obeyed the word of God. God wants you to give yourself to him so that he can use your life to touch the lives of others. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like living life on purpose. Let's pray. Father, use this for your glory. I pray you'll help us. I pray that everyone in here this morning will just want to give their lives to you. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of giving my life to you. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to watch you work in the lives of others. And I pray, Father, that you would just use what has been said here this morning. Use your word. Use the example of John the Baptist to help us to give our lives totally to you. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray for their salvation. And then I pray for every Christian here that they'll just totally surrender to you this day. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.